Hello, and welcome to the third episode of this profiling series, introducing you to the members of the International Water Association's Digital Water Program Steering Committee. For those of you joining us for the first time today, the IWA Digital Water Program is on a mission to provide a platform for water utilities to explore and share experiences on their digital water journey. The program has provided roadmaps and guidance that will help water utilities in making this transition to the next generation of smart water systems and fulfill the need for improved resiliency to secure and sustainably manage water resources now and in the future. The steering committee conceptualizes and produces these and other outputs of the program, including white papers, books, webinars, and podcast series like this. I am Erin Jordan, Strategic Programs Officer at the IWA, coordinating the Digital Water Program. My guest today is Oliver Grieveson, Associate Director at Atkins. Oliver has been a member of the Digital Water Steering Committee since 2019, its inception, as a committee member who has made and continues to make tremendous contributions to the success of the program. He is now the chair of the steering committee. Welcome to the podcast, Oliver.
Thank you, Erin, and thank you for having me today.
It's an absolute pleasure, as
it
usual.
It certainly is, of course.
Always good to talk to you. So, Oliver, my first question, and this has been the first question for all of the members who have been on the podcast so far. Can you tell us who you are? Who is Oliver?
So my name's Oliver Grieveson. I've been in the water industry for too many years to remember. I'm mainly a wastewater expert. I spent my time professionally doing, starting off in the labs, but all the way going to water and wastewater operations in the Falkland Islands, jumping on and off helicopters there. Came back to the UK after that, did a master's degree, went into process engineering design, then went into the water company side, dealing a lot with instrumentation, but process engineering, writing standards, going on stages, attending conferences all over the place. More recent years, I took over the MSETS program at Anglian Water, where I was for 7 years. I left them, went to ZTEC Control Systems to sort of help the entire water industry, not just one water company, on all aspects of wastewater instrumentation, data governance, and a whole range of things. In any particular day, I could be doing a range of things and work for a range of companies on the trickiest problems to do with sort of wastewater and, much more recently, digital transformation.
An impressive background. So you've been busy for a long time, but can you tell me currently, what does a typical workday look like for you?
Quite honestly, Erin, there is no typical day. A couple of weeks ago, I was up in the Lake District for a client, running around wastewater treatment sites, doing surveys. I could be up on stage. I remember last September, I was at World Water Congress, which was fantastic. Then the Digital Water Summit. Or I could be in meetings, or I could be, this morning I was conducting a professional interview for SIWEM, doing somebody's charters, and I'm actually on holiday today, so it shows. So I will say there is no typical day. It's helping clients with some of their trickiest problems to do with wastewater instrumentation, data governance, a wide variety of things. I remember during the pandemic, I was actually in court as an expert witness, which was interesting, certainly. But as I said, there is no typical day. I could be doing a wide variety of things.
Did you say that you're actually on holiday, Oliver? I think that's what you're
I am actually on holiday today. And doing lots of bits and pieces, catching up on a lot of things. I do a lot of voluntary work as well across the industry.
So you said that you moved from Anglian Water and you went to ZTech, working mainly on instrumentation for wastewater. As an instrumentation expert, and then considering your experience in the UK water sector and in the international water sector, how do you see the evolution of the digital transformation? And I mean, you could also talk about it as a committee member on the Digital Water Steering Committee and now as a chair.
I see probably nationally in the UK, I think we're taking baby steps. There's lots of great things going on out there. Ofwat have got some great innovation programs around digital transformation that really excite me. I also look at other countries and I see the amazing work that's been done by Pilar Conejos in Valencia around digital twins of the postal water network. And I go, and it took them 10 years. And I go, wow, fantastic. But I also see the work that Aguas de Porto has done. There's work that Aguas de Norte is doing. And I see some absolute fantastic work out there. But it's being delivered very patchily. And realistically, we need to share all of that great work that's been going on. And sometimes it's done commercially through companies. Idrica is doing some great work. Storm Harvest is doing some great work. But sometimes it's through events. I mean, we've got the Digital Water Summit in November, and it was on last November in Bilbao. And that was a fantastic event to find out what's going on. Fantastic event to collaborate with people. Quite honestly, the industry is quite poor with academia collaborating with end users, collaborating with the supply chain. And something like the Digital Water Summit is that ideal place to get people working together. And when you get them together, something special happens. And it really works. And we start having those conversations and those difficult conversations going, wow. And it's happened before. I mean, I remember somebody telling me a story. I was doing a keynote with the previous chair of the Digital Water Program, Dragon Savage. We were down at Exeter and he delivered a keynote before me, and I delivered a keynote doing my usual thing on data quality. And about a year later, somebody came up to me and said, Oliver, thank God I actually attended that keynote, because I really took it on board. And we went out and did a lot of data quality and data verification, and it helped us immensely. And it really allowed me to think, well, yes, I'm not banging a drum at nothing. And yes, those messages are getting out there and we are learning together. And that's the power of A, the Digital Water Summit, but B, the Digital Water Program and the IWA, of course, is we can collaborate and work together.
You're absolutely correct. And I mean, I think that is exactly why the Digital Water Program was created, to provide a platform for water professionals, utility leaders, anybody interested in digital transformation to come together and learn from each other. And as you said, the summit was, I think, one of the best places and events for that to happen, given the networking, the fun sessions in our hub, which I think was quite interesting to see what other people were doing. So you're absolutely correct.
It's exciting to see what's going to happen next. And I'm certainly working with the organizers and Kike. And the plans for next November are somewhat special. I'm looking forward to the demonstration sessions personally.
Yes, but we will not give you too much information. No,
definitely not.
We'll let that information come out in due time. But Oliver, taking it back a bit, when you were saying the UK water sector is taking baby steps, and you know, seeing what they've done in Valencia with the digital twins, and in talking to Saba and Eunice, I've noticed that there is still a bit of, you know, lag time. There's still a bit of campaigning that needs to be done in terms of transforming one's mind, not just the water sector digitally, but transforming a mental transformation as well. So I'm asking you, and I know that you are the best person to ask this question to because you are great at delivering hard truths. Can you tell me what the hardest truth you think that water utility leaders and professionals on a whole need to hear regarding digital water?
I'm going to be naughty and cheek and put two in there. One to address what you've just said. And it's a case of realistically, the hardest of the truths that we've got to learn is maintenance and data. I see a lot, I go out there and I see a lot of instruments. And when we think about instruments in digital transformation, there are data sources, there are eyes and ears, there are basically they're the fundamental base of the water industry. And if we don't use the data, then we might as well just stop. No point. I've seen many projects in digital transformation over the years fail because it's a lack of good data. And that really fundamentally stems down to data and maintenance and proper installation standards. Those I'm sure have read my white paper on instrumentation, and actually it's in the book, the Strategic Digital Transformation of the Water Industry. But realistically, for me, it fundamentally comes down to proper installation standards, proper maintenance, because that's our sources of data, which tells us, leads into the information, which leads into the insight. But what you said earlier is also true. Digital transformation, it's not just about technology. A lot of people, I say, they'll call a digital twin just a model, which it isn't. But there's the three elements to it. There's, yes, the technology, yes, the instrumentation, yes, the AI, the whatever smart stuff you want to call. When I was in a water company, I remember people going, I don't want to be sold a widget. I want to be sold a solution. So really, yes, technology is one element, but people is the fundamental part. And I remember sitting down opposite a CEO of a water company 5 or 6 years ago, and I said, well, the fundamental base of digital transformation is stakeholder engagement. It's the people. Finding out what information the people want, be it the CEO of the water company or the operator on the front line, and making the information, I'm not saying tailored, but available. Water companies, water utilities collect vast amount of information. And at the end of the day, vast amounts of data even, at the end of the day, we've got to convert that into a usable format. Some companies are good at it, some companies are getting better at it. But the insight, when you actually look at it, I mean, the one that always comes to me is Thames Water. Thames Water put smart water meters in, they're going at a rate of knots, doing a fantastic job, doing hourly reads of people's consumption. And the information and the insight they're getting off that is absolutely fantastic. It's shaping the industry. And yes, okay, things are still developing, but we've got to be sharing these case studies and getting out there. So really, my hard truth is, make sure your data sources properly installed, properly maintained, and they're right. I very controversially said that a lot of the spill, anyone who's seen the UK will have seen the spills to the environment. I very controversially said that a lot of those spills are actually false, because to be honest, the data's not right. And realistically, to get a great picture of what's actually going on, we need to make sure the data's right. And in the era of open data, it's getting more and more important. But the third element of it is, yes, not the technology, yes, the people, but also the processes. And the processes are the business processes which allow us to make sure all the data's asset captured. And this is where some extent of BIM comes in. It's all asset captured, and we've got the people to go out there to make sure our data sources are right. And then when that happens, it suddenly falls into line. And we've seen that with some of the companies who have done it already. So the hard truth is, make sure your data sources are right, make sure they're installed right, that you're not kidding yourselves on by wrong data, and taking that first step of the process. And when you've got right data, suddenly things start to work.
Every time I ask a question similar to this, because I've asked Saba for advice for both water utilities and young water professionals, and I also asked Eunice for a nugget of advice, and she chose who to give it to. But everybody is saying kind of the same thing. And it always makes me wonder, at what point is it going to make an impact? Because, I mean, I think we've been saying the same thing. We've been pushing this information, you know, we're trying to sensitize, you know, say, you know, capacity building is important, sensitization is important, stakeholder engagement is important, but then it's still not connecting the way we think it will connect. So this is a bit off topic, but can you just say what you think is the barrier for people in the water sector to get that information?
It's time, Erin. And at the end of the day, I've seen over my years in the water industry, there's the old adage, the water industry goes incredibly slowly, and it does in some ways, and rightly so in some ways, that there's a lot of risks to supplying water and everything else. But I know throughout my entire career, I've basically been about 5 years ahead of the curve. So I think it is just time. I'm seeing some utilities really adopting it and getting the value out of digital transformation. And all digital transformation is a bunch of tools used well. And a lot of the utilities have got those tools to hand. Some of it's not simple, not difficult, really. Some of it, yes, some of it is complex. If you want to put AI and ML into place, yes, it's going to be complex. But some of it is just using the tools that you've already got in place. And then time. And that just takes a person or a group of people to really be led down that path and really go, actually, we can do it. And it takes a leap of faith.
Okay. I think, you know, maybe in my line of sight, and because I'm a bit junior in the water sector, it does seem as though things are taking a very long time. Possibly if you take a step back and you look at the grand scheme of things, maybe the adoption of or the digital transformation in the water sector is actually moving a lot faster than we give it credit, I should say. But you're correct. Time is very much a good way to see how things are progressing. You're correct. Okay, Oliver. So we're done talking about the serious stuff. And now I want to ask you a fun question. An emphasis on fun. So when you are not working, and I know that this is very foreign for you because I think you're always working. But when you are not working, what do you get up to? How do you decompress? How do you spend your free time?
You're right, Erin. There's not a lot of time when I'm not working. And when I'm not working, I'm always thinking. To be fair, it's the nature of... in the past, I've been very operational, very tactical. But I have got a family and a couple of kids who I absolutely adore spending time with. I moved house about 3 or 4 years ago, and I've got a garden to look after now. So I'm looking out over that garden now, seeing the roses bloom and the lavender all up, and I do enjoy it when I have time. But it's basically spending time with family. Although people in the past have talked about work-life balance, I prefer a work-life blend. I do blend things together at times, and that's just the way I am. But now I do like spending time with the family and kids, and yes, in my garden, and seeing it bloom up now in front of me is great.
especially in this good weather that we've been having here in the UK. I think
it's raining right now.
Well, of course, you know, you can't enjoy it for too long.
Exactly, too much of a good thing.
Exactly. They will never give you too much sun. It's always just enough, and then it's more rain. Final 60 seconds. Tell our listeners where they can connect with you and what they can expect from you for the rest of 2023.
In terms of connecting with me, of course, there's IWA Connect Plus, the digital water program platform on there. If not, on LinkedIn. So those of you who know me, I do write a magazine every month, YPAT Monthly. And certainly for the rest of this year, there's going to be a few conferences I go to. Of course, the Digital Water Summit. But also Sensing in Water in September. The rest of this year is going to be working solidly away. As I said, I'm changing jobs next week. So my title at the start was my title for the future. And I've already got a very busy end of the year happening. And take everything from there. So busy few months coming up ahead. As well as a few white papers coming as well.
I think Oliver and busy, I think they're synonyms.
Synonymous, yeah.
They're synonyms.
I do think we're going to be planning a few webinars as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Aaron. I mean, there's always something that you are involved in. And for IWA, it's great. For your career, it's absolutely amazing. So good. I think it's also inspiring because just to see you going is like, yeah, if Oliver could do it, I could do it too. As usual, it's always good chatting with you, Oliver. I don't think it's ever a dull moment at all in any conversation. So thank you so much for carving some time out of your busy schedule to join us in the podcast today. It has been wonderful talking to you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Aaron.
Wonderful. And thank you also to all of our listeners. As you know, we're coming again with another episode, so stay tuned. And everything that Oliver mentioned, there will be links provided in the bio of this. And you know that you could also connect and engage with the Digital Water Program on IWA Connect Plus, as Oliver mentioned. That will also be linked, and through our quarterly newsletter. All of these things will be in the bio of the podcast, so be sure to read, scroll through, and click what you need to find. Thanks again, Oliver, and thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Aaron.
Goodbye.